Welcome to WHM's Nexus, loyal Patreon subscriber. I'm Andrew Jupin, alongside the whole gang, Steven Sadak, Christopher Cabin, and Eric Siska.
Yo, what up?
We are Yo, what up indeed. We are here in
Space Nine up in this bitch.
Oh, shit. That's right, Steve. This is a very special listener-requested episode of the Nexus. We are taking a break from the original series and Next Generation to talk to you today about an episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Which I pronounce Deep Space Nine.
That's right.
that means Deep Space No!
Exactly. Because this is not good.
and an episode of Star Trek Voyager. So we'll get into it. DS9, we'll start with first the episode in question, Civil Defense, original air date. November the 7th, 1994. Now, Steven, this was requested by whom?
Ben. I'm not going to say his last name because I don't know if he wants me to. Just Ben. So thanks, patron Ben.
Patron Ben. Now, so this episode of DS9, you guys, is what in the television biz we call a bottle episode.
Because you could just shove it up your ass.
It's got that, it's just got a positively thrilling title, Civil Defense.
yeah, that totally. Is not super.
Why don't you call it fucking Deep Space Nine Episode 4 Paperwork?
You know what, Voyager?
Defensive driving course.
Fart nap.
Fart nap, totally.
The Affordable Care Act.
All right, Quark, we're all going to take a fart nap. It's me, Odo.
I'm going to shapeshift into a fart cloud.
You know what, dude? For all the talk of shapeshifting, and I've seen a lot of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Odo very rarely shapeshifts, and it's bothersome.
Well, because he considers...
He should be a dragon half the time.
No, he considers it, like, humiliating.
Oh, well, grow up. You know what, dude?
You know what, Odo?
Yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah, you kowtow right now.
So can he, like... change anything about him himself too? Could he like make his thing get bigger?
Sure.
Yeah, we probably.
Hey, Quark, I just made my thing get bigger.
Great.
Oh yeah.
Let me see it.
Quark could be.
They've
into
got a
it.
Nice like little rat-a-tat-tat dialogue.
It's the best
there.
Part.
They
of the
always
episode.
Do. I mean, it's best...
are they lovers or something?
No, but that's the relationship.
They have a
on the love show.
hate thing.
But so it's a bottle episode that's like three different bottles.
Uh huh.
Okay, so it starts off. We got Chief O'Brien, who you may know from
Woo!
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Woo, come be there, yeah!
Yeah,
and you might know from Hell on Wheels playing Thomas Durant.
You might know from Intermission. He's pretty good in that.
Great movie. Mm-hmm. So he's Miles O'Brien, and the commander's son, Jake.
Oh, man, the Jake episodes.
So Jake,
kids
for those
in Star Trek should never be anywhere near each other.
Exactly.
Does anybody other than Steve know what the Jake episodes are?
Yeah, because there's another episode of
I can recall. Where is he the rest of the time? Like,
what, Jake Sisko?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like a Wesley Crusher thing, like... He's just helping out because he's eventually going to be in Starfleet.
And the earlier episodes, they think it's going to be a thing, and they don't learn their lesson, and then they kind of write him off the show at some point.
It gets so bad, though, that there's definitely an episode where Jake and Quark's, like, nephew or some shit.
Quark's nephew's the worst!
They steal a fucking, like, shuttle and get stranded or some horseshit, but it's like, kids in Star Trek!
Maybe we should do this, a quick around, because, you know, we all... Where are you with Deep Space Nine around the horn?
I saw the pilot and then this episode.
That's it. Oh, really? Never, ever?
No. I saw the pilot episode.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you were just like, I'm out, I'm not into it. No,
yeah, one day I was just like, man, I kill some time. I like Star Trek. Let me see what this was about. I watched the pilot episode while I was going to sleep one night.
Mm-hmm.
Did the trick, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Did you get to the Picard cameo, though?
The thing is, it was years ago.
Oh,
and then I just haven't revisited because I have a life.
I was gonna say I like the only thing I remember is the Picard. Like I think I watched the first two and this one, and I thought it was all garbage.
I've never finished it. I've seen a lot of it. I started trying to do like a rewatch. That also got interrupted by, I was like, oh man, how cool was Star Trek The Next Generation? And I restarted watching that instead. But the show, the first three seasons of the show, which we are including here, we're in the third season here, are kind of terrible.
Yes.
Once you introduce Worf, when Worf comes over, Worf files for that transfer, he comes over...
Hashtag, I want to still be on television.
Yeah, totally. And then what happens is the show starts doing, and this is like one of the first television shows to do this, I think. Like this like larger arc storytelling. Like the episodes start connecting.
The Dominion thing.
Yeah, the Dominion Wars and stuff happen. But so like Worf is in there. We're doing a lot of cool stuff. I haven't seen all of it, but like it does get a little better. I will say that this is my least favorite Star Trek series.
This is not my least favorite Star
Trek. Well, not including Enterprise. I guess that's I'm totally ignorant to Enterprise.
I'm ignorant to Enterprise as well. This is not my least favorite Star Trek series. I watched this as a kid a little bit. It was a Sunday WPIX show.
Channel 11. They always
they
had
showed it,
on.
It at like Sunday at like 10 to 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, this is kind of a good thing when you're not doing social studies homework. So I've seen a bunch of this. And then when I was unemployed, I kind of cherry picked episodes. I didn't do the a straight rewatch. It was on Netflix. So I was just like, that sounds cool. That sounds boring. And this show is totally fun and fine. I think it's got a pretty strong-ish cast, in my opinion.
I'm not against it. You know?
Sure.
I would actually like to go through all of them eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
I mean, the way it gets better, too, is when they start using the ship, the Defiant, to like go and do things. Because like just being on Deep Space Nine, the station, it's like...
A little boring.
You're at a fucking truck stop. It's an intergalactic truck stop, man.
Wait, are there space truckers, yo?
There might
kind
be,
of, yeah.
Yeah.
They're
kind
of off.
Fuck yeah.
They're looking for fucking Quark to sell them space cocaine. That's all Quark is up. I know you've got, I know what rails you're blowing, Quark. And I'm going to find out. I'm the cop.
Fucking Odo as the security guard.
I love, by the way, why is Deep Space Nine kind of darker? Like, every other, like, wattage on bulbs is, like, at a 90, and then, like,
well, either it's just deep space.
Yeah.
Well, deep, I'll tell you why.
Deep
also,
Web Nine.
Also, deep budget cuts.
Oh, deep. Man. We're dimming the lights on Star Trek? That's how bad it was.
I can't.
Deep Space Nine is a retrofitted, like, ex-Cardassian like mining station or something. So it's like, I guess Starfleet like really kind of didn't shell out for much renovation.
I do kind of like the backstory of the Cardassians and the Bajorans. I mean, it is even saying that's making me fall asleep a little bit, but it's kind of cool that the Cardassians, like, we're dealing with, like...
What, slavery?
Well, yeah.
It's kind of cool,
and,
Steve. Look,
and genocide, like, really talking about one culture, two cultures, and, like, building a show around that.
It's hardcore, like, Star Trek race politics and stuff. Yes. Like. It's like... If you really get into it, it's kind of one of the smarter Star Trek shows, but you have to get through so much shit. Like the primary crew like getting stuck in a board game in one episode, and you just want to fucking open your wrists in a bathtub.
I was kind of bummed that we didn't do the episode where we go back in time and meet the it's the Deep Space Nine crew on the Tribble
Star
Trek.
Oh, Jesus. That's terrible.
That's a great episode.
No, it's not.
Awesome.
I am dying to see this.
You should go home and watch that tonight. I'm not kidding.
I
you.
Will they, do that they, as soon as Sam
Lashley. They edit... They edit characters from Deep Space Nine into the TOS.
Awesome. It is awesome. I was kind of excited. I was kind of bummed that we didn't do that episode.
Oh man, I would have loved to have talked about it.
Maybe next year. But yeah, so
this episode, nothing happens in. Thank you, Ben.
No, I mean, like, so basically, as Andrew's saying, Sisko, his son, and the chief are working on one part of the station that is like a mining station. They trip some security defense, and the Cardassians are fucking stupid. I'm sorry. this security system doesn't make sense because you can't turn it off.
Right.
Like, why would I, if I want, why, you might as well fucking put a shotgun up in your house and like put, you know what I mean? Like, make sure that every time you go in the bathroom, it fires. Like, it
well, you could have
sense.
Turned it off if you were a Cardassian.
Yeah.
The whole thing is they like engineered the security device. So it's like if the Bajoran like slave workers decide to revolt, they get locked in this room, bottle episode,
mm-hmm.
and you can't get out unless...
Until you remember the old episode. No,
right. Until, yeah, exactly, flashbacks. You know, until some Cardassian fucking hisses some security codes at you. Let me tell you right now, I hate the Cardassians. They're fucking B-grade Klingons if you ever saw them.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
They all have, like, Annie Lennox neck cords.
Wow, that's so... I was speechless for a second because it's so shockingly accurate.
Best Cardassian ever, David Warner in the TNG episode. Now we're talking David Warner was
absolutely
a great Cardassian.
He's the best one. Actually followed up by this dude who plays Gul Dukat.
Yeah, he's all right.
So yeah, I was going
to
say,
we've got a lot of Cardassians to pick from. First,
I was going
to
say, most of the, my biggest problem with
these Peter O'Toole's Cardassian episode was great.
Well, it's certainly not the dude from this episode who's also in other DS9 episodes, who was the Scorpio killer in Dirty Harry.
Oh, the other guy?
The other Cardassian. Is that guy? Yeah. Wow. Andrew Robinson is that character's name. Or actor's
got,
name. Well, yeah,
Eric just got visibly excited.
Oh, yeah, the two Cardassians, Gul Dukat and Andrew Robinson.
But so, like, they get locked in this thing. So then everybody else who's on, like, the command center, which I always hated this command center on DS9. It looks like the set of a Power Rangers episode.
Yeah, it's not great looking.
And they're, this, like...
And they're with what? Alexander Siddig and what's...
Yeah, Alexander Siddig is the Dr. He's Bashir. The,
Dr. Bashir, one of the better Star Trek doctors.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to be Ra's al Ghul in Gotham.
Oh, that's something.
Oh, who could care?
It's
why are we still talking about Gotham?
It's yet another fucking smoke signal from Gotham Island. Like, please send
somebody
ships now.
Send audiences now.
Exactly. Like,
someone's watching.
We're here. We're here. Gotham exists.
We're going to give him the robes. We swear.
Azrael was on an episode.
We promised the Joker's coming.
Mr. Freeze, is that doing anything for anybody? No.
They've got to be running out of villains by now, right?
They should just start, like, next season, they should jump ahead in time and give us a Bruce Wayne that's a little older, right?
Come on, dude.
Because I feel like it doesn't make sense. Why is there all these villains?
Dude, yeah.
If they're you know, right? Isn't, like, this whole thing, like, now it's Batman podcast. But...
Like
Batman starts defending the city, and then all these villains escalate, right? Is that the idea?
The whole idea.
This is the opposite?
To me, the whole idea of Gotham is, what if Batman were just a cop? Because it's just James Gordon.
Yeah.
And like, he's the one who's fighting all these villains.
Well, then
like,
just adapt Gotham Central, the comic book.
Which is what they should have done.
Yeah.
But it would have been cool, to Eric's point, if they jump ahead in time in a season... And he's like getting to be like maybe like a 20-year-old Bruce
That's
Wayne
fine.
Or something.
Yeah.
But then you've got all these middle-aged actors playing all these villains.
That'd be great.
I know the Penguin's gonna be 70.
Dude, Jim Broadbent as the Penguin.
Yeah, there we go.
All I want is Bruce Wayne's sexual awakening.
Oh yeah!
Oh, that's already happened on that show 100 times
serious?
With that Catwoman.
Really? Oh, dude, yeah, the Catwoman.
Aren't they like 9?
Are they fucking?
They're not fucking, Eric. But
what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Because I'm talking about fucking. All right, let's get back to Star Trek.
So in the command center, it's Bashir, played by Alexander Siddig, who is on Game of Thrones until he was murdered.
Yep.
Then you've got Major Kira, who's a Bajoran. You've got Jezidiza Dax.
Yeah, we're just calling her Dax.
Dax, who's like this kind of... Like, we don't get into it in this episode, which is what she's always going on about, is she's like a symbiote of like all these different people and like... She's always like, oh, when I used to be this guy, I used to do this.
Oh, that's right.
I used to be this lady, I used
to do that.
She's
had like multiple lives. Yeah.
And that's that. And then we have Quark and Odo, who are just stuck in an office together. Two characters in search of a fucking exit, that's for sure.
I was going to say, it is kind of like a segment of The Office. Them just talking.
Well, because it's like Quark's like, why can't I look at your computer files, Michael Scott? You took my scapegoat. There are episodes of DS9 that get so boring, you might as well be looking for a stolen stapler,
well,
dude.
Quark comes in, he's like, all my customers are very upset down there, Odo. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing, Quark, because I don't give a fuck about your customers.
Hey, if you're a shapeshifter, why are you always looking like a guy at the end of that Twilight Zone episode, Beauteous in the Eye of the Beholder?
Because I choose to, Quark.
I honestly always thought you were a robot. Like, I would like, if I was you, I would go, remember that old actor 200 years ago, Michael Fassbender? I would kind of walk around like that. Like, I would just always be looking like Michael Fassbender.
Instead, I can make my thing bigger. What are you going to say about this, Quark? Bye.
Oh, these pants are getting tight, Quark.
Man, Odo's
all
fucking jumpsuit.
All I'm saying is I saw Shane, and he was doing all right.
Odo's fucking jumpsuit that he wears on this show is terrible.
It is.
He looks so stupid.
Can we get into... What do we think of Avery Brooks as Captain Sisko? I think he's... not the greatest actor in the world. He overemphasizes the wrong word 8 out of 10 sentences.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, he's fine.
I just kind of
he's very commanding.
That's I don't feel that. Like I kind of was just like he seems like he's just shooting the shit in these scenes, and I'm like,
it felt like O'Brien outclassed him.
He did.
Like, Call
Meany O'Brien knows what
captain.
He's doing. Yes. He's down there, like, I know this, and I know this.
It's kind of interesting, though, because he's not a captain.
No.
Like, he's just a commander.
Sure.
Who they're like, hey, be the general manager of this fucking Federation franchise McDonald's, will you?
But I think, like, so much of this. And this episode is very much into that, where so much of Star Trek dialogue is such nonsense of we have to fucking reroute the power couplet to the other thing, and what if the backup gets involved? And that's like 89% of this episode.
Man, I am falling asleep.
And like,
like right now.
You're either someone that can do that naturally, and this is not a knock on Avery Brooks as an actor. You can either do that naturally and find that way, or you're just like, I don't know, reroute the power coupling instead of reroute the power coupling. You know what I mean? Like, you try and put a little emphasis on the wrong thing there.
I guess I can see that. I mean, I wasn't even paying attention at this point, man. This thing, like, lost me really quick.
Really?
Well, it also feels, this is like an episode that feels like I needed to see the one before it.
Yeah.
Because, like, suddenly they've been stuck into this, what, you know, I don't know what we were
Security
talking about.
Security system.
Yeah. And they're like rooting around.
But it doesn't matter because the episode before it had nothing to do with it.
Okay, so this is just a bad show.
Okay. No, I mean,
welcome back to Bad Show.
No, because this was part of the first three seasons of bad episodes.
It's week to week nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, so we're just cut into them already being trapped in here?
No. They're doing something and then it happens.
Like, he's adjusting something and they're like, oh, what is this security measure? And O'Brien gets them into it because he's like, I don't know. Let me take a look. And he, like, fiddles with it. And they're like, the computer system's like, oh, okay, so this is a worker revolt. We're going to lock you in here. Like, it's O'Brien's fault that they're stuck in
there. The funny thing is, so it's Gul Dukat. I guess he had, like, a weekend off. And they're like, hey, Gul, you want to come in here? Or Mr. Dukat. You probably call him Mr. Dukat.
That's Mr. Dukat.
Yeah, I would say Mr.
He's like, they're like, hey, do you want to sit down and record this training video? Oh, by the way, could you also do this security system thing? Where he's like, all right. You've clearly breached level 3 security now, and now Biff has the DeLorean.
Like, totally. This, like, 1994 tube television, like, mechanical operations video.
Yeah.
It's so terrible.
And so, like, things keep happening. It keeps escalating. There's gas. They go into a thing. At some point, Bashir and Kira and team set off some laser contraption where it's just shooting lasers all over the place.
Well, because,
and I'm like, dude, why would this ever – this is a bad idea. Like, this has to be – if you're having a thing where it's just shooting lasers all over your command center, that's got to be a manual switch that somebody puts in.
Well, they're also, by the way it's set to kill anyone who's not a Cardassian.
Oh,
like,
right.
I think this episode highlights the fact that, like, these Cardassians are real paranoid motherfuckers.
But, like, it makes no sense. Like, it essentially operates like, and I know I bring this up all the time, but the lightning gremlin again.
I love
just
the lightning
bouncing
gremlin.
Around. Like, why not just make a field of lasers?
Yeah. Right.
And they either slice you if you touch them,
yep,
or like they set off some gas thing.
Aurora Borealis. Quick question. As we're stuck in this office, could you turn into the lightning gremlin? Like, if you wanted to, is that in your purview?
Well, there's one part where he goes like, come on, you're a shapeshifter. And like, he gives this look, he's like, changeling.
Well,
like,
first of all, Quark, it's not the lightning gremlin because he doesn't come from the sky. He comes from an electrical equipment. And yes, I could.
Well, that's
there's a racial slur element about shapeshifter versus changeling. He's like,
can you turn into Jessica Rabbit?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Can you do that for me?
Instead, he turns into Bob Hoskins.
Close enough.
Well, that was my question, and maybe I missed a line of dialogue, but I'm pretty sure, because I've seen, there's like an episode where Quark, or Odo rather, like, they find his home planet.
Oh, I've seen that episode.
And he finds, like, the goo people that he's from or whatever. Why can't he turn into, like, an Alex Mack puddle and fucking slide under that door?
Well, no, it's a force field, so it's top to bottom.
Oh.
There's no crevasses.
Oh, yeah. He couldn't, like, filter through there like a coffee filter.
I've turned into a coffee filter, Quark.
You've drank from me, Quark. What do you think about that?
Oh, Quark, I was your toilet paper last night.
Oh, God. Odo's getting into also. He's a detective.
Wait, how is that good for Odo?
Now I know all your secrets.
Maybe Odo's a fecophiliac. Who knows what those goo
dude,
people are up
that
to?
That is fucking filthy. This dude
I've
is
been
awesome.
Your toilet for 3 months.
Yeah, dude. Odo is the secret Star Trek scumbag.
He's been shitting in my mouth. Wait, now...
I was your vanity mirror, just a dice of Zag.
Can he turn into inanimate objects?
I don't know. That's a good question. I never understand why not, though.
Like, I feel right. like yes. Yeah. I feel like I've seen an episode or two where he's hiding as something. Oh, God.
Sorry, Quark. I was your shower curtain the other day. I was all around you.
I was your Chesterfield, Quark.
Hey, Quark, remember that steak you ate last week? Part of it was me. You ate part of me, Quark. What do you think about that?
I was part of your space jockeys, too, Quark.
Space jockeys. I feel like Ferengis don't wear underpants.
I don't know what. The Ferengis are disgusting.
What
they
is
have
down
no,
there? If you know, listener.
It's
right?
probably shaped like a snail.
It looks comment probably below. Like that nose he's got going on.
I need a map. I need a map.
Or maybe it's
of
the
genitalia.
Three seashells again.
Oh, that might be.
He's touch just, me here.
There's like he at some point Quark finds like his Odo's file on him and he gets all upset.
Right, because Odo's like, this guy's a scumbag. Don't trust him. And Quark's like, you can't trust me. Oh, so Steve brought up that thing where the replicator like replicates this little like ball and all these lasers are coming out. There is a dude who gets fucking vaporized,
yeah,
which
that
is awesome.
Nice.
But it made me think, because you're looking around and this is a bottle episode. Bottle episodes, traditionally, you just have like the main players of your show, right? They're still stuck in this command center and they're like, what are we going to do? And they're talking to each other and this, and like Dax like burns her hand at one point, all this shit's going on. But then you look around this command center, there's a couple of extras still floating around in the background.
You got extras. Those are fucking interns, man.
But like, they can't be there for a bottle episode, though. Get those extras out of there. Unless you're getting vaporized, get the fuck out.
Hey, Quark, this is a bottle episode. I think we've got to catch this fly.
I love that episode. My wife hates it. I love contention in this house.
That is a good episode. By the way, the Odo should have been those ensigns or whatever the fuck. Twist.
Oh, Odo turned into an ensign?
Yeah, if he turned into both of those dudes, those background dudes.
At the same time?
All the extras, they're all Odo.
I don't know if Odo could turn into more than one person, though.
What if he got really fat?
Oh.
Like if he had more mass?
Then he'd be Otho. Bravo, Andrew. Thank you, Andrew.
At this point, Goldacott does show up when the laser's going off. The other guy, the Taylor, who was in a lot of episodes, like he's like a spy.
The Taylor? Wait, he's a spy?
Yeah.
Is he a Tinker Taylor?
Yeah, I think that's
spy?
Kind of part of where it's coming from.
He's the dude that was in Dirty Harry. That's that guy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. The other Cardassians, like he was a spy, and then like he betrayed the Cardassians, and he's like,
right.
He's like the only Cardassian allowed on Deep Space Nine. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And
I feel like on Deep Space Nine, you got like Cardassian only bathrooms kind of situation. It's unfortunate,
But they deserve it though. After they did what they did to the noble Bajoran people.
You got to have somebody who knows the place. Yeah. And I mean, they've ruled over it.
Well, that's the other thing. I was like, why would you ever be on a space station that has this many security measures that you have no idea about?
Well, I think it's a surprise.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know.
It's like
it's not like it's like on the fucking for sale sign.
It's also, I mean, you're trying to make a community at a slave ship, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Well, it's the next final frontier. We've gone through space. Now let's see how a space station can fuck us in the ass for a while.
Well, that's
space has been fucking us in the ass. Let's see what the fucking horror show is in here.
I will say this, for both this and Voyager, no opening monologue. No opening space. The final.
Yeah, I need that. I need something. I need a little elegance.
Because in both of them, it just sounds like weird graduation music for like four minutes.
I couldn't disagree more.
What?
I think both of these theme songs
are both. They put both you right to bed.
Chock full of French horn, by the way.
It's nothing but French horn.
I love them.
Really?
I find them very chill. You're just in space. It's this like gentle French horn score.
But all I need is Avery Brooks to be like, "Space, we found an outpost to the Kardashian." Well, how are we going to get through this Kardashian?
How fucking boring is that sounding already with you just making it
up? It would make me get it more into the show, though, because then I'd know what the fuck I'm watching.
Exactly.
Because right, because when I started this, I'm like, oh, what?
Or Voyager. It's like, oh, well, we find our way home. Space, we're in the farthest outreach.
See, that's
blah,
the thing.
Blah, blah.
You just... give me like 10 seconds. Tell me the overarching plot. Like, okay, yeah, the Voyager's fucking lost in space, and these dudes are sitting on their ass.
Deep Space Nine, we're sitting on our thumbs.
Exactly.
Well, I just think it's your French horn bias. Exactly. Really here. I mean,
we are sitting in my hall of French horns.
I honestly thought they were cut scenes. Because like, the episode starts, and I'm just like... oh, this like it's oh they're just showing planets outside.
I mean,
now
it's a nice departure, I think, and I feel
it's
like
the music you find when you're taking your seat at a graduation ceremony. It's like
save that shit for the end credits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about it again last night. I find both very chill. I just like looking. What I really enjoy is the opening thing and for DS9, and it's just they hold on just like the starscape for so long.
Yeah.
And then like we kind of pan and it's like just tiny Deep Space Nine, and then like it transitions into a closer. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just think it's well done and it's different.
Okay.
I feel like, by the way, you're talking about how he fucking enunciates things. Can you imagine Avery Brooks doing this thing in the first place?
That's a good one.
Jesus Christ.
Here we are. Yes. Here we go.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Son's with me.
A lot of stuff happens in this episode, but nothing really happens.
Yeah. Nothing worth discussing. Next episode.
The Chief, Avery Brooks saves the day, and Chief O'Brien gets saved by Jake Sisko, of all people.
Yeah.
That's great.
Little kid heroics. I don't think so.
We end with, like, it's Odo and Quark, like, having this back and forth, and he's like, "You don't think I'm the most fucking disgusting Ferengi you ever met? Who do you think's more fucking disgusting than me?" And he's like, "Well, there's that Ferengi we picked up on Balthazar, and then there's your cousin, and your fucking dirty mother. Your mother's a fucking dirty Ferengi, Quark. What do you say about that?
Your disgusting nephew?
I'm not even going to bring up your sister."
Also, Dukat like gets fired or something. There's disciplinary measures.
Yeah. Dukat was always in the hot water with the Kardashians.
Well, Dukat's like also, he's humiliated twice over in this episode. Because also in here, this other guy, character actor Andrew Robinson, Scorpio from Dirty Harry, is like, "Oh, by the way, Gul Dukat, I bet this doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you want to fuck Major Kira, does it?"
Oh, man, that's so uncomfortable. It's like, what?
It's so fucked up. And Gul Dukat is like, "Shut up.
I'm in there.
I'm so close." But it's just this, it's like out of nowhere, and everybody's kind of standing around like laughing at him, which is pretty
great. Do you think
great.
He's poking her all the time on Deep Space Book?
Yes, I do.
She's like, definitely who pokes not, anymore.
She's definitely not responding, though. What with his people trying to commit genocide on her.
Yeah, that's an uncomfortable opening line.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple 3 a.m. likes.
Oh man! Oh, that vacation photo from four years ago.
Oh yeah, it's a deep like, by the way.
Welcome back to Deep Space Likes.
She didn't even remember posting that photo.
She's like, "Oh my god, I thought I took that off when I took the new Deep Space Nine job, but I guess I didn't."
If you invented DS Book, you would have invented DS Book.
Well, that's what's weird, though. There's no real conclusion to this episode. It's just the two of them fucking joking.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, we don't go back to Sisko at all. He doesn't have any, like, "Now, Jake, I told you not to leave." Like, there's anything.
That's the story, really. It's like, oh, you know, Sisko's son saved the Chief.
Yeah, it feels like they turned it in half an episode.
Yes.
I feel like I'm missing all those important scenes.
Well, I mean, Otto and Quark are going to a Chili's at the end.
Oh, man, Deep Space Chili's. Quark, I got diarrhea from your deep space chilies last night.
Let me just change the configuration of my colon.
Why, yes, I will have some buffalo egg rolls.
Oh, God.
We're going to a Chili's? I'm really hungry. Let me turn into John Goodman for a while.
See, you should. If you're turning into Goodman, you should turn into Fassbender.
Man, if we just... If John Goodman just played a shapeshifter for this entire series, that was a dude who morphed into John Goodman because he saw like an old movie. God,
so what if my favorite movie is King Ralph, Quark? The fuck business is it of yours?
Whatever. That's this Deep Space Nine episode. It sucks. This series does get better, but man, for the uninitiated, this is not a great example of what this show could do.
No.
Good Lord in heaven.
Yeah.
So thanks to, who was it, Paul?
Ben,
a lot, buddy.
Benny boy.
Coming up next on The Nexus, we venture to the other 90s Star Trek series. Stay tuned. So this is Star Trek Voyager, the episode in question, Threshold, original air date, January the 29th, 1996. Steve, this was requested by whom?
By almost everybody. No, by a lot of people. Rob, Andrew, Jamie, Tiffany, Zachary, Christopher, Drew, Sierra, and I think that's it.
Well, thank you, Sierra.
Everybody.
Yeah, so this is an episode for the uninitiated.
Sure.
Well, I'll go around the horn on this, actually.
Yeah,
who watched Voyager?
I never, ever did. It came out just at the end of my Star Trek thing where I put that to bed for a while, and then I took it back out again later in life. But I actually tried to watch this maybe 6 months ago just independently. It just came on Netflix. I was like, oh, I'll go through it. I got through like three episodes. I was bored to effing tears. And this is my least favorite aside from Enterprise, which I have no interaction with.
I've seen a bunch of Enterprise, like three or four episodes. It's fucking horrible. It's fucking awful.
Yeah.
But this I only saw this episode.
This is a first and only.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen a ton of this show. And it's so funny you talked about, Steve, like putting it to bed. It's unfortunate to think of now, but I was like, for a time, and it's so weird to think of it now because I'm just like, just so whatever about it, but like, I was kind of embarrassed to be a fan of Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Which was totally unfortunate. But like,
I'm afraid the older boys are going to make fun of me.
Yeah, totally. I wasn't that. But,
no, I know. Anyway.
But like, this was also towards the back end of my being openly interested in Star Trek for a while, but I watched a ton of it. I watched a ton of this.
So my question is, because you talked about in the last part, there are pre-Worf and post-Worf. This is pre-Seven of Nine.
Correct.
Does the show get better? Does the show get worse?
It's cool having a Borg who's part of the crew.
Sure.
I mean, that's sort of interesting. It doesn't shift the dynamic of the show as much as having Worf on. And it doesn't... I mean, it sort of does arc-ish stuff, but not as much as Deep Space Nine was really rooted in it.
Okay.
It does stay more kind of episode to episode from what I remember. I mean, there's dumbass shit on this show. Like,
oh, there sure is.
They realize
like
at
Neelix.
One point... Neelix is terrible. There's a thing where they realize that there's like life forms that are living inside of holodecks. I mean, they all do dumb shit.
What I will say is, you know, from this episode alone, it's way better than Deep Space Nine to me. Like
this episode is better than the two episodes.
I'm more excited to watch Voyager now.
Well, the reason I think I was more attracted to Voyager was it started after Deep Space Nine did, and I was like, oh, cool. for two reasons. One, it's a show where you've got a fucking ship again, so we're going places. Sure. That's pretty cool.
Exploration.
But also, because we're like thrown into this other quadrant, it opened up like, oh, there's a whole new slew of like gleep clops that you can have on.
What bugs me about this, so it's the Voyager gets stranded a billion light years away. Some stuff happens. It gets stranded a billion light years away with this rogue ship from the Maquis, who's like this weird like rebel set.
Yeah.
And there's this thing, because we all have to work together, so like these Maquis turn into Starfleet officers. And
there's
like
a lot of honorary Starfleet officers.
The guy who's a commander is a Maquis dude. He didn't even fucking pass, you know, the first, you
wow,
know,
dude.
Commander Chakotay.
This, yeah, exactly.
Is this the shit you're worried about, like college credits?
Yeah, dude.
Well, I mean, if he has to go up against the Kobayashi Maru and he doesn't fucking
well, guess
know
what?
It,
what? No one's gonna have to go up against the Kobayashi Maru. God damn it! It's an impossible scenario.
Do you think they still offer it though on the timeline of Voyager?
Probably.
They have to. I mean, you gotta test the person's
will. Who needs school?
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm gonna say right here. Because okay. I'll take a street smart gleep glop over your bookworm human ass anyway.
All right, so you've been working at your job for like 5 or 6 years, and then all of a sudden some guy is like, I could do that better, shows up, and they're like, oh, he's your boss now. I'd be like, fuck that guy.
We have that. It's called our current president, by
yeah,
the way.
That's also true.
Some fucking idiot walked in.
And also,
in off
that
the
happens
street.
All the time. They're called relatives of someone else in power.
It's called nepotism.
Yeah.
Well, so, this series, I mean, the crew is made up of interesting outcasts in a way. You have Tom Paris. Harris, who's like,
oh
starts,
man, do I fucking hate the ginger hair of Tom
wait,
Paris.
So what, now,
but he's
no,
like,
wait, you're against people for not knowing stuff, and now you're against this bookworm. Where
Tom
does this
Paris
line
isn't
up?
A bookworm, though.
What?
Tom Paris is, he's a disgraced Starfleet officer who
he's
they.
Disgraced?
Yeah, they go to, there's this like.
Prison
they,
colony.
There's like a prison colony
what?
Thing, and he's there. He's fucking
wait,
enslaved.
Was that
even
in
though
this
his
episode?
Dad. No.
No.
This is like the pilot. His dad is a big deal at Starfleet.
Oh, someone whose dad is a big deal.
There
you,
go. You
know what?
Yeah,
news.
He's a yeah, big deal at the cracker factory, but this
right.
dude is imprisoned.
Now I say put two in the back of the head.
Oh, his dad just gave him a small 1 million credit loan. And they don't even have credits in Star Trek. So you got Tom Paris. You've got the doctor, who I kind of hate.
Robert Picardo. I think he's pretty funny.
He's like a hologram.
He got hired because of his last name.
Picardo. Oh, that could be.
Yeah.
This is so. Yeah,
I kind of like him on the show.
You guys didn't. You guys didn't episode, watch the show, but so in the pilot, the doctor of the ship is killed, and the whole thing is it's like a security protocol. If your doctor dies, there's this hologram doctor who pops up, which is why Robert Picardo is also in First Contact, which is interesting.
Yes, that's what he said. I was going to say he's in one of those
yeah.
new movies, and then you've got a female Klingon who's also a Latina woman.
Torres. I believe she's like half Klingon.
Yeah, and then you've got Neelix, who's like a fucking scumbag. He's even worse. He's somehow worse than Quark.
You might come to regret those words, brother. I don't know. Neelix, he's some sort of gleep glove. He's got bad. He's like a fat roadie from an 80s hair metal band yeah. kind of haircut. This guy looks like garbage at all times.
I wish that's what it was.
Andrew, tell me.
Space Sabbath.
As the Voyager guy, is are the replicators down? Like, what's why is he cooking everybody? Why is he making everybody coffee?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if that's
yeah.
a thing. I think it's just. It's something to keep him from being executed.
So in this,
like you can be our chef.
In this episode, we start with they're trying to break warp 10, which every warp up to warp 9.9 makes sense, and then warp 10 is nonsense, wherein you inhabit every space.
You are everything and yeah, nothing in between,
beyond Jupiter and the infinite.
Yeah. So sure.
I guess. I mean, yeah. Who knows? I mean, the whole thing is they're trying to find fast ways to get home.
And yeah, they're going to do warp 10 to do it, but no one's ever done it before. They do find some stupid way to do it, and they're like, "Hey, who's going to be the first guy to do it?" And Tom Paris is like, "Me. I'm a disgraced loser, and I'm just fucking complaining about it the entire time.
I need to make Daddy happy with me."
Yes.
So what did he do to get himself in prison? Or
oh, child pornography.
Really?
No.
No. It was real Jared Fogle situation.
Gambling.
Probably space. I actually,
you,
I don't
you
remember.
You owe me a lot, Tom Paris. It's me, Quark. I keep your debts, Commander Paris. I got my papers in my safe. And they'll come out when I need them. I got those pictures. That Ferengi girl was much younger than you think she was.
Oh, man, Tom Paris, don't go for a Ferengi girl. That's disgusting.
What? Why?
It's like fucking a snail shell.
Hey, all life is beautiful, man.
Tom Paris has been there, done that. So he wants to do it. The Captain Janeway. Oh, we can get into Kate Mulgrew here.
She's great.
She's great.
She's awesome on this
show.
She's
the only thing I like on this.
She's got my favorite line in one of my favorite documentaries is Trekkies. They corner her at some convention. She's like, bah, what'd you get me for? And they're like, you want to talk about how great Trekkies are? And she goes, well, I do think people like to make fun of them, but I think that there's something quite ingenious about marrying intelligence with science. It's like this amazing.
So Trekkies, Harlan County, USA, those are the top ones for you?
Yes, exactly. Oh, no, I'm sorry. With science, with imagination.
In Steve's defense, I don't even bother with documentaries. Who needs that shit? I fucking walk down the street and see real life.
Wasn't Kate Mulgrew tricked into doing a narration for a documentary that either said the Earth was flat or the moon goes around the sun?
Whoa, what?
No.
It's I'm pulling this up right now.
Is she a Scientologist?
Keep talking.
I don't think so.
What's that one?
Orange is the New Black.
No, fuck.
My Scientology movie? That's a terrible documentary that's out right now.
No, God, it's going to kill me.
Going Clear? I don't think there's narration.
No, it's like whatever the fuck happened to blank or something like that.
What, blank?
Who killed the electric car?
Where the fuck are we or something? Like, it's...
We're recording an episode of The Nexus right now.
Well, I know that, Eric.
Hold on. All right. So Kate Mulgrew was tricked into narrating a trailer for The Principal, a documentary that argues that geocentrism, the belief that the sun as well as the rest of the universe revolves around the Earth.
Oh, how are you tricked into doing that?
It's a good question.
Like, you're sitting there, like, you're reading it.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, by the way, the sun revolves around the Earth. Wait, what?
I think it's the old Denzel Washington contract trick. Oh, can I have your autograph?
Oh, man. At one of those, at the Trekkie convention. Hey, do my Trekkie. Well, science, I'd imagine. Oh, here, sign this release. Okay, sure. Wait, the sun revolves around the who?
Oh, no.
You got to hit the sweet spot. After 200 fans that want their hands signed. Then you put the contract right under her nose, and she'll sign it right away.
You'll have to talk to my agent, Quark.
Yes, if the deal can be stricken appropriately, I don't see why she wouldn't narrate this nonsensical documentary.
Wait, it was just the trailer, though? It wasn't the movie?
It says the trailer in the stupid article.
She probably got out of it.
Yeah, she probably.
How many octagonal coins will you pay me?
It's a what?
So she doesn't want him to do it. He does.
Because there's a possibility he might have a brain hemorrhage.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Kind of fun. And he does, and like he makes it, and everyone's like, woohoo, yeah, Paris, you're not a piece of shit anymore. Woo.
He like vanishes off the radar, though. Mm. And so then, you got another member of the crew is, of course, Tuvok.
He's not a lot of Tuvok in this episode.
No, and I like Tuvok. He's a cool Vulcan character, and he's like, oh, by the way.
Oh, he's the Vulcan? Yeah. I like him. Yeah. I like him.
It's like, oh, looks like he's totally disappeared off of our radar.
He's into it.
Yeah. And nobody is really like, oh, fuck. They're just like, huh.
Well, wouldn't this be expected? If you're going to go to Warp 10 and you can go anywhere in the universe, why would you be traceable in that?
Well, they don't know that that's what you can do.
Oh, they sound like idiots.
Do they have no science officer?
Maybe he got burnt. Maybe he's a hologram, too.
No, I think Tuvok is the science officer, isn't he?
Yeah,
is
he? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. These look like, by the way, the most comfortable of all the Star Trek uniforms.
Yeah.
These are some jammies. These are some, like, let's curl up and go to
sleep. Well, because what admiral's going to come in and fucking narc on us, man? Nobody's around. Jammy town.
And also, on this particular ship, there is no showers and there are no laundry. Oh,
Lieutenant Commander Tuvok, I've reported you numerous times. Please wear a shirt to the bridge.
That's what's amazing is, like, throughout this entire show's run, like, They're keeping it together.
Yeah.
I would be in a t-shirt, fucking Dorito dust all over the place.
You're lucky if I got clothes on still.
You I'd be what? Commander Pigpen.
This is what we need instead, you know, instead of USS Discovery or whatever the fuck. We need a show about slobs in Starfleet.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So far out in space. Yeah. It's like, whatever, man.
Star Trek fuckwit.
Yeah.
It's called Star Trek The End of the Road.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of fat guys like us.
Just out there, man. Yeah, the Star Trek The Last Outpost. And we're just sitting there, and it's like, nobody's coming to visit. Mm-hmm. And we're just disgusting. Mm-hmm. We've all got like super long David the Gnome wizard beards.
We decided just to use a replicator for pizza. And now we're just, instead of growing real crops, we're just doing hydroponic. You know?
Yeah, totally.
Why do I tiptoe around it? Just call it Star Trek obesity.
Yeah, we would use the, Lieutenant Commander Sisko, we would use the holodeck, but Commander Cabin broke it. Tried to make himself a girlfriend.
Dude, man.
I was halfway there.
Oh, man. Which half, Kevin?
No, we're not going to be calling the holodeck anymore. It's the cum deck.
Oh, man.
Let's call it what it is.
Everyone, once a week, you got your turn to mop the cum deck.
Oh, hey, throw out all those like Sherlock Holmes protocols. We don't need them.
Nope. It's the four of us and then a snooty Vulcan.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of like The Odd Couple, but yeah, he's ganged up
he
on.
He can't stand it. Again with the holodeck.
I was going to say, every time somebody teleports on there, they're just like, oh no.
we're about to be boarded by like enemy aliens, like the Borg beams on, and they're like, no, thank you.
What is this all over everything?
Assimilation will not be necessary.
Assimilating would be futile.
Yeah.
We would destroy the Borg.
Oh, yeah.
Man getting Starfleet commendations for single-handedly destroying the Borg.
You've turned them all into perverts.
Why will we continue this race when we could just kind of hang out and watch movies? Our square ship doesn't need to go anywhere.
Let's have
a staycation.
It's a cube full of dudes that are hanging out, man.
I like it. So Paris, he comes back wrong, obviously. Everything seems fine. He gets really sick. We get into some David Cronenberg territory.
He got flied.
Yeah,
he got full flied.
Sure did.
He comes back. He's like having a nice meeting with Torres, and he starts like shitting blood or something.
What's amazing is like he's blaming it on this like blend of coffee that Neelix makes for him.
Oh, fucking Neelix!
Oh man, he gave me fucking food poisoning again. That Neelix. And I was like realizing like they really come down on this dude because like earlier in the episode they're trying to figure out like how they can make the warp 10 simulation work, and Neelix is like, well, you know, actually I used to study engineering, and they're like, shut up, fucking food service weirdo.
Yeah, that's fine.
And he like,
hey, look, what's the muffin situation?
Hey, Neelix, if I bother to come back here for dinner later, what's the pizza of the day? You know, because you make all our food because you're a fucking loser.
It's fucking French bread.
Oh, oh no. Man.
French bread pizza. That should be against the law.
You can't be serving these people French bread pizza, Quark. They work hard.
Is this only 8 tater tots per serving, please?
I know it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno, but it's crap.
If you don't buck up around here, Quark, the next thing you're going to be serving is a tombstone.
Oh, my God. How many times did Quark get secret shopped by Odo, which is all the time?
Yes.
Every time he's like, well, it took you a really long time to get my change, Quark. I wanted 6 octagonal coins back. You gave me 3 hectagonal coins.
Yeah, so he starts like bleeding out of his ass or whatever, and they're like, hey, man, it looks like you've come down with something.
No, well, you've got space disease.
Yeah, he looks like the guy who got the tox bath in RoboCop.
He does look exactly like that guy. That guy, wow. One of the scariest images I saw as a kid was that. We saw RoboCop really young, and that scene I was not ready for.
Oh, that's the SADAC way.
Mm-hmm.
Ready or not, here comes RoboCop.
I wonder if you ran into this guy, he would also explode like a watermelon.
Oh, freeze, child. Here's fresh horrors for you.
What's great in this episode, too, is they're talking about, like...
He gets two hearts.
He does get two hearts.
He does get two hearts when he starts mutating. They're like, oh, you're going to be famous. They're like, oh, so, like, Orville and Wilbur Wright, Neil Armstrong. And then they totally name drop Zefram Cochran.
Yeah.
The Elephant Man. I'm just going to focus on the Elephant Man.
You could be the next Elephant Man.
The Salamander Man, you know, I guess.
You know what? No one ever brings up the fucking Riker maneuver anymore, man. Like,
yeah,
you know
that should have been in the history books.
Are you serious?
The Riker maneuver.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, the old farting in someone's mouth gag.
Oh, Riker.
We'll see him next month. So he does start to mutate. He looks a lot like the guy from RoboCop. Picardo, as the doctor, is very confused. He doesn't know what's going on. He keeps getting worse. At one point, Janeway comes to see him, and Picardo's like, look, he's got a bit of space madness. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And he starts ripping Janeway a new ass here a little bit. He's being a real dick.
Well, it's weird. He becomes like... totally paranoid of everybody. Yeah. He's like, y'all just want Tom Paris to fail.
And then his tongue falls out. Oh, man. That's
this is when I started throwing up. Because he's kind of like, oh, excuse me. And you're like, what's this guy doing? And then he's holding a tongue. Mm-hmm. And then he sort of looks up and smiles. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
And then he gets worse and worse. As he gets worse, nobody really. You don't see. It's not like all the characters come to say goodbye to Tom Paris.
No.
Well, because they're scared they're going to catch something.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, why is everyone's just running in and out? I mean, apparently there's a force field. I wouldn't trust that. I wouldn't be fucking 12 decks from there.
Well, because he can't. They find out, like, the atmosphere on the ship, he can't breathe properly.
Yeah, he breathes nitrogen or whatever. They find out, I guess he hijacks the ship or something. What happens?
So he kidnaps Janeway. He knocks her out cold.
Which you don't understand why at all. And it's not really even explained.
Yeah. Well, he's horny as fuck, dude. That's
I guess so.
What's happening?
This is crazy.
So he gets really nuts.
And he's full salamander now, right?
No, not yet. We
that's on the ship?
On the ship, he still looks like RoboCop.
He's like a goopman.
He's a goopman.
Oh, is he still goopman? I thought he was salamander by that point.
Oh, no, he gets a fish face.
Yeah, the salamander
face.
Well,
we're saying he's still humanoid. He does turn into an actual salamander.
Well, yeah, eventually. Right. Yeah,
he looks like enemy mine at this point.
He does look like enemy mine. This is after the doctor is like, by the way, I think I have the solution to this. We just kind of got to dip him into the warp core and fucking jolt his ass with some of that for a little bit. And they're like, really? That's the best you got? And he's like,
whatever.
Yeah? What do you want?
I don't know. Start picking on him.
Oh, fire me. I'm a fucking hologram. What are you going to do? Like, honestly, what are we talking about?
Walk through me and create your own solution. I don't give a shit. That was actually a question I had. I don't remember a lot of other Picardo moments on this because he's just the doctor, by the way. But like... there's a scene in this episode, it's right when like weirdo shit starts happening with Tom Paris. One thing we didn't mention is he does die one point. They're like, oh, he's fucking dead. And the doctor's like, oh, hey, assistant of mine whose character name I don't remember, Keela or something maybe, mm-hmm. is like, we'll schedule the autopsy for the morning. And I was like, ooh, Star Trek autopsy, pretty cool. And so the doctor is then shown like late at night, like tinkering on a computer. And I was like, he's a hologram. He's part of the computer system. Why does he need to be doing paperwork?
Also, why leave a corpse just hanging out? Like, is it the decent thing to put a sheet over it, like dress it down or something?
Yeah, like get it in a drawer of ice or something.
Have a new set of morals now.
Oh, right.
Just leave it out to rot.
Yeah.
And then eventually you throw it out at the, you know, and into the space.
Oh, I mean, you're definitely getting shot out into space. I mean, that's without question.
You have a bunch of sunglass cases that you put people in like we do at the end of Rathacon.
Or you put like your kids' pet hamsters in.
Oh, man.
Sunglass case.
That case
old
is, I think.
Oakley's case. You shut your little hamster and you chuck it into the woods.
That's what King Kong puts his sunglasses in, I think.
Oh, right. That's what they put Spock in. His big Oakleys. So he kidnaps Janeway, and he realizes the only way he can get well again, I guess, or the only way he can do what he wants to do.
Is by fucking.
He steals his shuttle, and he goes to Warp 10 again, and no one knows where he goes.
Yeah.
They trace him somehow to some other world, which is the cheapest looking thing I've ever seen.
It's really bad.
These ficus plants they're walking through, I'm like, really?
Oh, I thought it was just a sauna that they just rented out for
It's
the
like
day.
The set of a soap opera.
It is.
It's really bad.
They're like, oh, we found two humanoid things here. And obviously when you go to Warp 10, you change. And somehow they're both salamanders.
And there's a third salamander.
No, there's multiple.
There's multiple.
There's like three or four of them that poke their little gopher heads out of that hole.
Puking.
But what I don't understand is like it takes Tom Paris, it's not days, but it's like at least several hours to start undergoing all these changes. How does Janeway like catch up with them
that fast?
Maybe
they're in Warp 10 longer
or something.
Well, I mean, it also seems like they do a fade out to get to... It seems like it's a while before they get to them.
Yeah. Oh, actually, he does say something about it took us like 3 days to catch up with them.
Yeah, and like Chakotay, is that his name?
Chakotay, he takes over.
He's like, oh, do we leave the captain? We not leave the captain. And he's like, oh, we've got a reading. Like, it's been a couple of days.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, if I had done that, if I had just seen what's about to happen, I'm Janeway, and I'm just looking at what just happened to him. I'm stomping this salamander to death, even if he is my fucking friend.
just for spite,
just out of spite. You did this to me. Oh, really? You kidnapped me and brought me to an alien planet and turned me into a salamander.
And then they had tons of sex.
Tons of salamander. But before I turn into the, if I'm going through the thing very slowly and I'm turning into the RoboCop monster,
right?
Then I'm going to kill the salamander while I'm in that state and can.
You're doing it to prevent the fucking?
Yes, just to clear it all out.
Kind of doesn't make sense. Like the idea is, what's happening to Tom Paris is he went so fast, he's evolving into humanity's next stage, which we all just turn into fucking big Komodo dragons, I guess? Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
That doesn't make no sense.
Like,
and then... What happens to the babies? Like
They leave them on the planet, which is amazing.
They take Paris and Janeway. They bring them back. They give them the cure, which is just stick them in the warp core. They set it to 380.
Okay.
Rotate twice. Minutes. Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, you're looking for a Kill Bill 3 situation here.
But yeah, those kids are just like... And they're like, oh, isn't it weird that we have like weird little lizard babies somewhere else?
It's fucked up. Like... Before they address it, like with dialogue, Chakotay's doing a little like first officer's log, and he's like, "Yeah, so we got the two of them, and decided it was probably for the best that we left those things on that planet. We'll never go back."
You know what? Just to be safe on this one, drown the pups.
Let's just
you bring them back and you put them in the warp core and see what happens if they become human.
Oh, that's a good call. Know?
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Oh, but I still go back to drown.
No,
drown
actually, in Starfleet, it's much like a DNR, do not resuscitate. It says, do not save my reptile children. It's a DNSRC. You have to sign that away. It's a DNSRC.
But then it's fucked up because they're both in sick bay and they're back to normal in like one cut. Thanks a lot for this. You know, we don't even see this procedure happen.
Yeah.
And Janeway like goes up to Tom Paris and she's like, well, Tom, you know, I always thought about having kids. Not necessarily with you, of course. And
he's a reptile.
Yeah. And they don't even mention that part. It's just like having children with you.
Hello, Tom. I'm resigning. this is the end of the show. I can't do this anymore.
I'm going to lie in one of those sunglass cases, and Tuvok's going to shoot me right out into space.
Well, really, see through the glass darkly.
Either one of us has to resign at this point, Tom. It's a game of chicken. The weird thing is she even goes so far as, like, I think even Paris makes some like quippy thing. It's like, I'm sorry, we made it and had kids. And she goes, why do you think it was your idea? Sometimes the women of the species is the... And I'm like, what are we even
talking about? Just because I was kidnapped against my will doesn't mean that I wasn't horny.
Because they conveniently don't remember any of it, obviously.
Yeah, it's all just so disgusting. And what a waste of, like... This is what happens when you achieve warp 10. Like something you
fucking frog.
Yeah, I mean, like something you could have worked into the mythology of Star Trek, like carried on in some way. Sure. No. We can never use this again because lizard people.
Nope. Wet reptiles. Every time.
So of these two listener-requested episodes, which one wins the week here, wins the month, rather?
I love the Mind Voyager. I'm a big supporter of the Voyager.
Yeah, me too.
I am too. Even though I think I Deep Space Nine rules. No, I Deep Space Nine is better than Voyager in my opinion. but this episode it wills out. I also don't like Voyager before Avery Brooks gets that haircut, to be quite honest. He gets a bald and a goatee later on.
Voyager.
I'm sorry, Deep Space Nine. Before, oh, okay. Before,
yes, he does start looking more badass on Deep Space Nine. Yeah, totally. Yeah, Voyager wins out for this one. It's just more of like an adventure, and you know, bottle episodes are a real gamble. This one does not work.
Civil defense. Yeah.
Civil defense. No. It's three bottles that you're just sitting on the whole time.
Can't get a ring over one of them.
So that is WHM, the Nexus. For the month of March, thank you to everyone who wrote in their listener requests. Thank you so much for subscribing to continue supporting our Patreon adventure here. Next month, we will be back to original, well, not original programming, but, you know, the usual that we talk about here on the Nexus with TOS and TNG. We'll be back continuing along the episodes. I don't have them in front of me, and I'm not going to take the time to look them up.
I would say look at the Big Daddy Dispatch, but I got it wrong last month, so you might as well just, you might as well just fucking kill me.
Well, this was the Big Daddy Dispatch for Listener Request Month that you fucked up.
No, I'm going to not fuck up next month.
Okay. Right, so then Steve promises not to fuck up the Big Daddy Dispatch.
Oh, I do
want to
mention that for April, I want to read another Slash story. So why don't you comment below on Patreon with a TOS Slash story you think would be fun.
Oh, there we go. We read one of those.
Everybody's
get those
fucking everybody on that.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, Slash fiction. Yeah,
yeah, like I want to... Give you me some Kirk or Spock fucking somewhere.
You actually get the full novel of what happened on the Salamander planet.
Oh, man. You know what, Cabin? I'm sure somebody filled in those dots.
That did it for somebody.
Yeah, I bet.
So until next month on the Nexus, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Sisk.
Take it easy.